turn back, and we're looking here in Galatians chapter number 1, second message out of the book of Galatians tonight. Galatians chapter number 1. Tonight we're going to read verses 6 through 9. Remember last week we talked a little bit about Paul is writing to this church. Actually, it's a group of churches in the area of Galatia. And we talked about how there was a group of Judaizers that came in and began to pervert their belief system and change the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he is writing in defense here. To help you understand a little bit, you can picture it this way. Paul goes and he establishes these churches. And there's probably a group of about four different churches here, five different churches. And then after Paul leaves to head off to the next missionary journey, what these Judaizers would do is they would come behind Paul. And they would begin to explain to them about they also needed not only grace, you're not saved only through grace, but they also try to add in the Mosaic law. So they would come and they would say, well, have you heard that, yes, you're saved because of the grace of God, but have you heard that not only is it through the grace of God, but you have to also obey this Mosaic law? He says, you mean Paul didn't tell you that? Oh, he should have told you. And they began to try to put restrictions and obligations upon them to help them understand that they said that was needed for salvation. Now, Paul hears about this, and Paul writes this letter back and rebuffing this. And that's what really, truly legalism is. You'll hear sometimes when a church has standards and tries to have holy living, and they'll say that, hey, you're legalistic. In all reality, what legalism is, it means that you add something to salvation. Salvation is through grace. It's by faith. It's not something you can work your way into. It's not something you can earn. It's all by about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And that's what our church stands for. That's the gospel that is given in the Bible. And you'll learn tonight, if someone else tries to preach another gospel, the Apostle Paul says, let them be accursed. Let a curse be put upon them. And that is not acceptable. And that is not acceptable here. But there is something that the Bible teaches us about wanting to live a holy life too. And sometimes when we try to live a life that's separated unto God, sometimes people will start making little accusations and say, oh, you're just being legalistic. You're just saying you have to do that in order to be saved. You've never heard me say that. Never heard anybody from the pulpit say that. But you'll have people say, oh, you go to that legalistic type church because they tell you you can't do this and you can't do that. That's just not the truth. They're misusing the word of legalistic or legalism. Now, you know, people get upset when you start touching on their sins, or if you do something a little bit differently than they do, they want to try to, instead of maybe looking into the Bible and changing it, instead they rather call names and make accusations towards it. But Paul here is talking to a group that is really, truly legalistic in the idea they're saying, you're not just saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved by his grace, but the only way you can keep that salvation is by through circumcision, by holding on to the Sabbath, by doing all these ceremonial laws. Paul hears this. It's the perverting of the gospel, and Paul hears this, and Paul writes this message under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He responds to this. Verses 1 through 5 last week, we looked at that he was saying, look, I didn't do this because I asked. It's not of men, not through men, not by men. I was called by Jesus Christ to bring this message unto you. And now these other men are coming in and trying to pervert it. So verses 6 through 9, titled tonight's message is Some Things to Marvel At. Some things to marvel at. Here in Galatians chapter number 1, let's start in verse number 6. The Bible says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now those two verses in 8 and 9, it says, well, did Paul realize he had already said it in the verse earlier? Yes, he is saying it to make us understand and put the emphasis there. This is important to understand. In the day and time we live in, with the watered-down religion that has passed around in so many churches today, people say, hey, you just need to learn how to be accepting of everybody and everybody's belief system and everybody's way to heaven. What the Apostle Paul is saying here, he says, no. If someone is perverting the truth, if someone is trying to tell you there's another way to heaven, if someone is being an apostate, they should be accursed. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you give me the words that you once said, Lord, that you just speak to people's hearts. Lord, we need your help tonight. Lord, I pray that in this passage of Scripture that your thoughts and your intents come right across to what you want us to hear tonight. And Lord, these are your words. They're not the words of a man, Lord. They're your words that you've given to us to help us understand that there are people out there that will pervert, people out there that will change, people out there will be false teachers, and we need to stand against those. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I see in tonight's message. Three things that I think we should marvel at, look at. That word marvel is in reference to that there he's wondering at. He says, I can't believe. He's shocked at it. They have just left this young church just a little while ago, and as he's there and he's traveling around and he's maybe in the Church of Corinth area right now, he hears that these Judaizers have come into these churches. Not only have they come into these churches, they have caused them to sway. They have caused them to change their beliefs. And Paul writes back. Now, the first thing I think we should marvel at is the removal of faith. The removal of faith. This word marvel comes from the Greek word theomazo, meaning to wonder or wonder at or marvel. It's written in the present tense. So you get the idea. Paul has received this message. He understands what's going on. He picks up his pen at that moment in time and begins to pen these words under the inspiration of the gospel. He has not been departed very long. He's not angry with them. He is shocked. He says, I cannot believe that you have been removed from what you believed already. It's just been such a short time. You see what it says here? It's a suddenness of the removal. Not only is it a surprise, it's a suddenness of the removal. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The phrase, you are so soon removed, means that they are transposed. They were believing in one thing. Paul had came. He had teached the grace of God through salvation. And here, these men have come and they've perverted the message of the truth of the gospel. They've used scriptures. They've used the Old Testament. And they've convinced these people that not only is it by God's grace, but you got to work and you got to do this or you got to do that or you're going to lose your salvation. But the Bible doesn't teach us that. And that's why Paul says, I marvel at this. I am so surprised that you are so soon removed. It's a sudden change. He says, I was just there a little while ago. You were established. You were grounded in your faith. And now you've gone away. You've transposed. You've changed. These false teachers have caused you to fall away and desert from the person and your belief system. Now, I know in the context of the message, Paul is referring to those that pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I can't leave this verse without at least thinking at, don't we marvel sometimes at how easily people fall away from the truths that they've learned? I mean, I don't know about you, but I marvel at it. That somebody can sit in a church and they can serve in a church and they can learn the Bible and learn the gospel and they learn the word of God and they know what it stands for and they've been persuaded and they understand and they are grounded in their faith and they know what is right and they just turn around at some point in time over their lives. They begin being removed from the things that they believe. They are so soon removed. And you're like, didn't you grow up here? Didn't you know better? Haven't you learned it? Didn't you make a profession of faith? Didn't you give testimony of it? How come we are so soon removed? And even we go to our own lives, and I even look at my own life, and I know God speaks to my heart about certain things, and I want to live for him. I want to do what's right, and I want to obey him. And then sometimes it's just the next day that I'll slip up and I mess up, and I was like, man, I marvel at that. I'm surprised by it. I'm shocked by it. How can that? You know what that teaches us? That we're all weak. We all have a flesh. And we need to guard against that. We don't need to be playing around with things. We do not need to be listening to people who do not believe like we do. We do not need to be playing around with things that are maybe what they consider questionable or gray. You know what? It's either right or wrong. And that's what we need to learn, that we have a flesh and that we are so soon removed. And we marvel and wonder, how could that person ever do that? Or how could that person ever believe that way? And you know, so often the members of these false cults that are around, you know where they usually come from? They come from good churches, because they're not grounded in their faith, and they'll fall away. They'll be so soon removed. And I think there's some things that we can marvel at. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul was surprised. He marveled at the fact that he had taught these people. He had set up these churches. He had put pastors there. And he says, I leave you, and then you allow these men to come in, and these men come in, and they pervert the things that we're teaching. They change the things that we've taught you. The things you are so grounded in, the things you are so settled in, they didn't lose their salvation, but they lost their fellowship in God. You say, Pastor, where do you get that from? Well, let's look at this next phrase here in Galatians chapter number 1. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. And you look at that next phrase, it says, from him. It doesn't say, and it continues on, it says, from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But that another gospel, what did they leave first? They left him. And that's what amazes me, is that when we leave the faith, we're leaving God. We're leaving him. You know, when it's not when we break the principles of the Bible or we go down our own pathway, we're just doing things that are well and my relationship with God is still good and we're great, we're still buds. No. What he's saying here, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. And that's why I'm encouraging you tonight, is that if you're going to walk away from doing what you know God has spoken to your heart about, you're walking away from him. Does that mean you're going to lose your salvation? No, it doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation, but you're going to lose your fellowship with God. You're walking away from him. And we don't like to think of our sin that way. We don't like to think, okay, if I do this and I do that, it's not that big of a deal, you know, but we play around with our sin. And we need to learn that that's a walking away from him. And we don't want to walk away from God, do we? It continues on. It says, from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So the first thing I want you to think about, something we can marvel at, is the fact that they were removed from the faith that they had been grounded in. They had been removed from him. They had been removed to another gospel. And he was marveled at that. And I think we can make that application. I know that's context of another gospel, but application-wise, in our own lives, aren't we surprised? Aren't we shocked when we see others be removed so quickly? We see others walk away from the faith of the gospel, or we see others pick up things that they know they're wrong. It's shocking to us. But when we make it personal in our own life, we make commitments to God, we make decisions for God, it shocks us too when we walk away. And we need to learn that our flesh is weak, and we need to die to the flesh. We need to die to the... We've been crucified with Christ. We've died with him on that cross, and that it's us that allows to walk away from God. Second thing that we need to marvel at is not only the removal from the faith, but the reality of false teachers. The reality of false teachers. Now, the emphasis is placed here, and I'm glad, like I said, certain times certain things are written in the Bible. You see that the harshness of these words, you see the reality of these words, you see that these words are given, and you cannot misinterpret them. He says, verse number 7, which is not another what? It's not another gospel. He says, you've been moved from the one gospel to another gospel, but that is not the gospel at all. Gospel means the good tidings. That means that Jesus Christ, he died and he buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, that the fact that you can have salvation through grace, but when you add works to that grace, it's no longer the gospel. It cancels it out. And he says, look, what you believe now is not another gospel. And that's what some people will say. We have a new revelation. We have this new thing. You know, the Mormon church, you know what they call their belief system, their doctrine? They call it another gospel. I don't see how they can look at this and they can read it. He says, but it's not another. It's not another gospel. That's what they call it. They call it another gospel. Scripture is clear that there is no other true gospel than that which is found in the New Testament by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. After Paul had preached and taught the grace to this Galatia region, they came in and they changed it. They didn't challenge the facts of the gospel. You'll notice that most of the cults that are today, they're not going to challenge the fact that Jesus Christ lived. They're going to challenge who Jesus Christ is. They're going to challenge the deity of Christ. They're going to say he was a good man, he was this, he was that. They're not going to be able to deny that the resurrection happened. Obviously, there was one point in time when Jesus Christ appeared before 500 men. They couldn't deny that. But instead, what they did, they took what Jesus Christ taught and they added their own truth to it. And that's what this book is all about. It says it doesn't work that way. But there's a reality here. There is false teachers. They pervert the gospel. Look what it says in verse number 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What they're doing is they are coming in and they are troubling these churches. Now, they might be doing it in their own mind. They might think that they're doing a service to God. Wasn't that what the Apostle Paul was doing? The Apostle Paul thought that the best way he could serve God when he was Saul, he could stamp out all the Christians. He was done in all the name of religion. They crucified Jesus Christ on the name of religion. They thought he was blaspheming God by saying he was the Son of God. And this is what the false cults will do. They will take a portion of the truth and they will mingle their own doctrine in it. And then they will present that as another gospel. It's not another gospel at all. Those are people who will trouble the congregations that sit before people and preach. There is false teachers out there. And we need to be careful who we listen to. We need to be careful what we listen. And this idea of troubling teachers, you know, they disturb, they agitate. Paul reminds these churches that this is something we must be careful with. Look what it says in verse number 8. But though we are an angel, now they misuse the word there. They're misusing the gospel here. He says, and Paul is saying, though we, he's saying, even if it was us, he was not even exempting himself. He says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He's saying this is a conjunction. It's the strongest show of contrast in the Greek language. And it's saying here, he explains to him, look, no matter who it is, matter whether it be the heretic would be an apostle or the heretic would be an angel that came from God himself. It doesn't matter how big name the person is or how unknown the name of the person is. If they are perverting the gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be proven wrong. Let him be called a heretic. Let him be called an apostate. You'll realize that all these different things, that the strongest language ever used in the Bible was aimed toward religious leaders that did not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, what did they call the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees? John the Baptist called them vipers. What did Jesus Christ call them? He called them whited sepulchers. You know, the strongest language was used toward those that were preaching and teaching a different way to heaven, a different gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul, he's writing these words to this church of Galatia, and he's saying that these men are coming in and they are troubling you. They are perverting the gospel. And that is what happens across America so often in so many churches today. You need to be careful who and what you listen to on TV today. It doesn't matter how big they are. You think about what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, sometimes we see these guys out there on the TV that preach a different gospel, a prosperity gospel, or a different way that Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven. And we turn around and say, man, they are the false shepherds. They are the wolves in sheep's clothing. And I agree. But you know what? I believe a lot of those people is the judgment of God. God has given the American people exactly what they wanted. They get people that give you self-help messages and don't preach on sin. They give you people who just turn around and tell you the things that are going to make you feel good. And they don't preach the condemnation that is found in the Bible. When men like Joel Osteen will go on Larry King and say things like that Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven. And he won't preach on sin. These are the judgment of God that I believe that's giving America exactly what they want. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear that the gospel caused Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And you have to repent of those sins if you really, truly want to be saved. And it's not something that you earn. It's not something that you can work. It's not something that you can gain favor with God so much that you can go to heaven. You know, that's what he's talking about here. And you go up and you can line them all up. You can line up anyone that you want, but if they are apostate and they do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that those people pervert. They cause trouble. And the Bible, you know, Paul is calling these men out. And we need to be careful what we listen to and what we watch. Because a lot of times these men are not true men of God. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And there's a lot of different people. You do some research about some of these big name preachers and these new evangelical churches, and you'll see that they really truly are not preaching the word of God the way that God intended it to. When men can get up and say, well, I don't feel like I should condemn anyone. I don't know if anyone's heart is going to heaven or hell. That only God knows that. But if a man confesses to be an atheist and doesn't believe in God, what does the Bible say? The Bible says he's a fool. And if you can't believe in God, then you can't go to heaven. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And that's what we need. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He is calling out the generation of apostates that have gone into this church of Galatia. And he is saying, these men are playing with your souls. And that's what we got to learn at. That these other religions and these other cults, we must let this trouble us. We must understand there is a reality that there is false teachers, that whether they do it with good intentions at heart, that knocks on doors and tells people a false gospel that tells them that this is the way to heaven. That you have to work, you have to earn, you have to be a part of this, you have to do this, you have to. That gets them to heaven. We should be disturbed by that. And we should want to tell others about that. We should want to tell them the truth. And that's what this book is all about. It talks about the difference between these men that come in and they trouble you. Now, like I said, that might not be easy to hear. But the Apostle Paul here, he's calling them on the carpet. And he says, look, even if I come back to your church, it doesn't matter who they are. If Pastor Pease got up next week and he preached that you need to work your way to heaven, the same curse would be upon me. He says, whether it be an apostle, an angel, whether it be someone you like or dislike, it's the truth that they're perverting. And we need to stand for that truth. The Bible says contend for the faith. So we need to be careful. You say, why do we need to be so careful, Pastor? Because of the fact that we are weak. Our flesh is weak. As we saw this church, these churches in Galatia, what happened? They were so soon removed. What happens when churches all around are filled with people that used to believe the Bible completely and totally, and they've been so soon removed that they go to other churches that don't preach the truth anymore? It doesn't matter if they have millions and millions that watch, or they just have a few. The Bible says that they are perverting the gospel, and they are troubling others. Now, they misuse the gospel. We have a proven gospel. We have a gospel that works. It's a gospel through Jesus Christ. And he say, Pastor, I don't get it. These people seem like nice people. I don't get it that, you know, all their cults, they have great morals. They look like they believe the Bible more than some Christians do. Well, what does the Bible say? For such as false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. You know, the devil's not going to put somebody up there and present somebody as the grim reaper and try to get them to listen to that. It's not going to be that way. They're going to be false. They're going to be deceivers. They're going to be false apostles and false doctors. I mean, false preachers that go up and they present it. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing what some people will buy, hook, line, and sinker. That's why we need to be careful. We need to know our Bibles. We need to stand strong on the Word of God. That's why if anybody preaches differently what the Bible teaches, we need to mark them and say, that's not somebody I want to listen to. Third thing I want you to see about, not only is it the removal of the faith and the reality of false prophets, because there is false prophets out there. There are people maybe in their own minds that's being used by the devil to pass off a false doctrine. They might work hard. They might be committed. I mean, people will crawl over broken glass, committed to their service because they think that they're serving God. But that's not found in the Bible. It's not. It's a false doctrine. It's a false gospel. They'll do things that are just not according. They're trying to gain favor. It's just not there. There's false teachers. We need to realize that. There's a reality there. The third thing I want you to see is the realization of a future judgment. The realization of a future judgment. You know, you say, Pastor, I didn't like, you know, I got some friends that are part of places like that. I think they're really nice. I agree with you. I'm sure they are. They need to be saved, but I agree. But there's a future judgment here. Look what the last phrase here says on both verses. Let him be accursed in verse number 8. Let him be accursed in verse number 9. This accursed comes from the Greek, anathema. It's a thing devoted to God without hope of being redeemed. Therefore, a person or a thing doomed to destruction. But the Apostle Paul gives a grave warning to anyone who changes the true message of the gospel, is that it's going to be headed towards destruction. There is no hope. If you preach a false gospel, they're headed to destruction. And that's what he means by here being a curse. It's referring to the fact that they are going to be preached a false gospel. Throughout the scriptures, the strongest language, once again, what is it used for? It's used towards those that preach a false gospel. That's what these Pharisees and Sadducees try to do. They try to put into the law, and Jesus Christ rejected them. He called them heretics. He called them hypocrites. He says, you don't need to listen to them because they are preaching something that is false. Paul reiterates this. Verse number 8, he says it once. We know that it's important. It's hard for us to read the first time. And then in verse number 9, he says it again. He doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't feel apologetic for it. He gets up and he says it with an emphasis a second time. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And here in verse number 8, he's saying, he even puts himself out there. I don't care who it is. I don't care if there's an angel that comes and does it. That no matter what they preach, let him be accursed. That they have no right to change the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have no right to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ came. Now, think about it. What does the Bible put an emphasis on? It puts an emphasis on the soul. You know, if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul. That's Jesus Christ came and he died for that soul. That soul was precious to him. That soul was important to him. And he is fighting, he is valuing, he is sending men all around the world to try to reach people's souls. And then when someone comes along and preaches a different gospel, perverts that gospel, damning men's souls to hell, of course he's going to talk strong. He's not going to be easy about it. He's not going to be quiet about it. And that's what Apostle Paul, he's writing this. He says, hey, look, I don't care who it is. Even if it was me, he says, let him be accursed. And he says it again to put the emphasis because there is a realization of a future judgment. A future judgment on those who pervert the gospel, but a future judgment on those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. We need to be careful how we look at our Christian faith. We've had it watered down for so long that we think it's take it or leave it. We can be so soon removed and it doesn't even bother us anymore. Oh, yeah, I made that commitment a year ago. Oh, yeah, I just gave up a week later because, yeah, I know God wanted me to do it, but it wasn't that important to me. So soon removed. Is that our testimonies? Yeah, I don't know about you. You take this passage of scripture and you say, okay, pastor, there's none of us here that are believing a false gospel, and there's none of us here trying to spread a false gospel. How do I apply this to my life? It's that there are so many people that are removing from their faith. The devil is gaining much ground in much area because these false cults have more interest in spreading their false lies than many of us do in ever telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. I still remember, I told you this before, I was going around and knocking on doors, and I went up to knock on a door, and the guy said, I wasn't going to answer the door, but I did anyway. He says, what are you, a Mormon? I says, no, I'm not a Mormon. And he says, oh, okay, then you must be a Jehovah's Witness. He says, no, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. He says, then what are you? I said, I'm a Christian. I said, but I go to Faith Baptist Church. He says, a Baptist? I've never had anybody come to my door that was a Baptist. I've had plenty of Mormons. I have had plenty of Jehovah's Witnesses, but I've never had a Baptist come to my door. You know what? That just broke my heart. Because I had been in the town for a few years at that point in time, and you know, we had a goal of reaching every house, and you know, but that broke my heart that no one. Of course, you never know. Somebody might have come and he might have forgotten, or like most times, they come and they put the thing in the door because no one's home. But he said, I never talked to a Baptist that came to my house before. You know what? There's a lot of people out there doing a lot of work. there's a reality of a lot of false prophets. A lot of them are doing it unbeknownst to the fact that they are preaching and teaching a wrong gospel. And we need to put out the truth. We need to give the truth. It's not easy to say. It's not easy to hear. But the Apostle Paul was saying, if they're preaching and teaching the wrong gospel, man, we need to tell them. We need to stand up for the truth. We need to contend for the faith. And if there's somebody out there that is teaching wrong, it doesn't matter if they're a well-liked person. It doesn't matter if they're popular. It doesn't matter if they're some great big name. Let them be accursed, because they're damaging the souls and the opportunities people have to get saved. It's not a game. So often we play it as a game, and we read verses like this, and we're like, man, what's Apostle Paul's problem? You know, why is he making such a big deal out of it? Everybody, you know, they got truth. They got a choice to believe what they want to believe. Why is he picking on them so much? You know, it wasn't a game to him. And I'll end with this. You know, the Apostle Paul was one of the few people that could say they marveled because they were so soon removed. Because the Apostle Paul in another verse says, none of these things move me. See, when Apostle Paul was saved and he began to serve, he realized his flesh was weak. And he said, everything I tried to do that was right, it just don't seem to do the things I know I'm supposed to do. All those things I know I'm not supposed to do, those are the things I do. But he says he's put a fight and a war and a battle on himself. He says, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to do my best to live for God. And those things I'm supposed to do, those are the things I'm going to strive to do. And those things I'm not supposed to do, I'm going to do my best not to do those things. And he comes in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. At the end of his ministry, and he's talking to this church of Ephesus, and he says, none of these things moved me. And he talked about all those different things. He says, all the beatings, all the shipwrecks, all the nakedness, all the peril, all the hunger, all the things I face, none of these things move me. And that's when the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Galatians, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. I can't understand why you are so soon removed from this gospel, because he was a man who believed, and he lived his life like he believed. One of our missionaries, the Odisons, and I know the Odisons a little bit better because I grew up with Cherith. And Jason, the missionary, her husband, he got saved later on in life. And he said to me, he said, one time we were talking, he says, in Cherith's class, there was a lot of young people who surrendered to live for God. And people surrendered to be missionaries or maybe pastors or Bible school teachers. And he says, I don't understand this. He says, you knew these kids in high school and junior high, and she's a little bit younger than I am. He says, I know she had a great class. So many of them at church and at camp and all these things, they made commitments to God. And he says, I don't understand. Cherif's the only one in a full-time Christian ministry. And he says, I don't get it. He says, I was saved later on in life. He says, and I wanted to live for God with my whole life. And he says, and you got these kids that grew up in church, that grew up in the Christian school, had every opportunity they could to serve God, and now they're doing nothing for him, at least not what they felt like God had called them to do. He says, I'm amazed by that. He says, I can't get it out of me. He says, I had to serve God because that's the commitment I made. And now he's over in another foreign country in some type of bush somewhere, reaching people that never heard. And you know what? It amazes me sometimes how soon we are removed. It amazes me what little things will get us off course. Decisions we made on Sunday morning to live for God, are we still doing them today? Decisions you made a week ago, a month ago, New Year's resolutions. I don't think God really cares about resolutions. He wants a revolution. He doesn't care about a little bit of house decorating. He wants a complete remodel. He wants everything to change in us. He's not happy and satisfied with a little bit. But those changes and dedications you made to God in the last few weeks, the last few years, are we doing those today? If not, there's a problem. And we need to work on that. We've been so soon removed. What has caused us to move away from it? Apostle Paul here, I know he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people come in and pervert it. And I understand that's the context. But how do we apply that to our life? Are we being removed? We can. There's people that are part of other churches that don't believe like we do, that used to come to this church. People that are part of other cults that don't believe, that used to come here, that don't believe like we do anymore. They've been removed from their belief system. Now, if they've been saved, The Bible says that they have everlasting life, but they've allowed false teaching to stop them and move them away. You need to be careful what you believe, understand what you believe, know what you believe, know where you got it from. You got it from God. Not from man, from God. And then you need to realize there is a reality of false teachers. I'm going to shun from those men that do not preach the truth. I'm not going to listen to those men. I'm not going to listen to any women that try to preach, be pastors. I'm not listening to those men that don't preach the gospel. And I need to understand that there is a realization of a destruction. You know, there is men and women that is dying and going to hell in our communities. People you see every day. And we just don't care. At least not as much as we should. Because we can walk right by them and our hearts don't break for them. There's something wrong. And Apostle Paul is saying here, look, there's a lot of people out there preaching and teaching the false gospels. Where was the men that was standing for the truth with these churches? They weren't there. Where did they go? When we look around America and we see mosques going up, we see kingdom halls going up, we see all types of things going up that preach works add to salvation. That includes if a Catholic believes what the Catholic Church teaches in its doctrine, that's an added work to salvation too. We see that everywhere. Where is the people standing for the truth? We're sitting in a pew, but are we standing throughout the week? Let's think about these things. There's some things we need to marvel at. The realization that people remove from their faith, the reality of false teachers, and a realization of a future judgment. Let them be accursed. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time.